we'll sing a song and see if that works its business. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for the hoot, for the sunshine, and for each soul that's here. Pray, you, Lord, for those that can't be here, especially Pat and Steve. For other departed brethren, Lord, please put your good hand upon them, I pray you this morning. Upon our country, the leaders of the countries around the world, but the Jewish people, Lord, please, I pray you provision them and bless them and protect them. Please continue to save souls, Lord, and please work in people's hearts and minds. Please open their eyes to what's right and what's wrong. And please, Lord, I pray, please continue to oppose devilment and wickedness at every hand. And please bless and honour those that bless and honour you. Lord, please be one of our number here this morning. And please, Father, I pray, there's a lot of pleases, Lord, that we really do need. Please bless this time in your presence. We love you and praise you. And just thank you for loving us, and Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have to start with Jesus Saves. I'm not sure of the exact number, but I have it creased in my book. And I will let you know what it is. 259 this morning. If you're able, we'll stand. Maybe the singing and the standing will help bring me around at the very least. Open now and go to 355. 355 is what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Three verses.
Bye. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn the song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw 100 angels flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The third angel followed them, saying, the loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead who shall die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye saith the Spirit, and they may rest from their labours and their works to follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for there to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen.
Amen.
Always enjoy readings from the book of Revelation. Chapters 6 through 16 detail the 21 judgments of God. I think I threw out my prayerlessness as well.
Or did you give it to Stephen?
Might have done that.
Gave him three.
There we go. Pink prayer list today, make sure you get one. Those are up to date as of yesterday morning. If anybody has any other prayer requests that they'd like added to that, now would be the time, and they'll be updated in about a fortnight's time. So, has anybody got anything that they would like to add to our prayer lists? There's an acquaintance of ours, the Spears family. You may remember. Oh, sorry, I didn't see your hand up there. Go ahead.
Brian, going to Boskin and Trip with the college. 400 students go together to France. That's pretty bossy.
When does he move?
Sorry?
When does he go?
The 26th of March. For 1 week.
That's awful. And he has to go on a skiing trip. I'm sure he'll be fine.
You know, sometimes, you know, young people, friends go together, they will compete. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
They always say that people are stupid. A person is smart, but people are stupid. So we just pray for everybody to be smart. That's what, nearly 3 weeks away? But don't forget Frank. Frank is prayed for anyway. So please do pray for Frank as he travels. If you remember the Spears family that we have mentioned from time to time, one of their sons, William James Spears, had a stroke there about a month or two back, was it? A few months back. His son had to have a kidney transplant. He received a kidney from his brother, and unfortunately he is on tissue rejection drugs, and he came down with
cellulitis.
Now he's a builder. And he is only a young fella, but unfortunately anything like that will always hit him harder because he will be on tissue anti-rejection drugs. So that lowers the immune system, which means he picks things up. So it's quite serious for him, and we'd ask if you would pray for William Spears. And
he's actually in hospital with that.
Yeah. Instead of the cellulitis that he has picked up, if you would. There's a lot going on in the one family. Please do pray for the Spears family at this time. So that's Frank especially and the Spears family. Anything else that we need to be thinking about? I'd ask that you keep praying for Norman and myself and the work that needs to be done. We had Will out with us yesterday doing a bit of cleaning and sorting, and it took us what? A good hour and a bit to get it all done. So there won't be any service on Wednesday. Don't get used to not being in church on Wednesday, because the place out there will be torn apart this week, and hopefully all the sheets will be put up. We have replaced all of the beams from working on the outside, so all of the timber should be good. It should just be a matter of pulling off the old wood on the inside and the old panels and getting up the cut. Plasterboard, there'll be a wee bit of electrical work, but that'll not be a big deal. Please keep praying for us. There's a lot. It's heavy going. And we appreciate, we need all the prayers that you can spare. appreciate that. Make the most of not having a Wednesday midweek service, but don't get used to it, because it'll be back on ASAP. I do not like that, but unfortunately it is necessary at the moment. It takes an hour or two to set up, it takes an hour or two to tear down, and then there's the cleaning whenever we're tearing down. And we would be spending the day doing that on a Wednesday. It wouldn't be worthwhile turning up at all to do any work. So please do pray for us. And we appreciate your indulgence and your patience. But it is all required. There's always a ton of stuff to do. Anything else? Good. Well, would you leave us in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Thank you, brother.
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord, for it being sunny and warm, and thank you for your love, and you sent your son, then pastor, our son, God, and for you, your mouth, your breath, lesson you give us day by day, Lord, was health, wealth, and strength, Lord, over the ever, Lord, and thank you keep us safe as well. Remember that you want to check forever with your anger, Lord, and that you don't treat us after the multitude of our sins, Lord, for the reward of our sins, Lord, but you're a kind and loving Father, Lord, and give us and keep us this day, Lord. If I ever had this covered there, and represent the Lord and families, bless the families who represent the church today, Lord. And give us a gift for those people who can make it, provide for them, and keep them safe and well, Lord. Give Frank and small them, deliver from any trouble, Lord. Keep them safe and well, Lord. Mr. Alton will draw a closer walk to God. Give Leonard, Lord. Keep them safe. Mr. Alton as well, Lord. Keep them safe and well, Lord. And heal them, Lord, as well, Lord. I would say, Stephen, Colin, John, Lord. Keep them safe. Bring them to church next appointed time, Lord. To care for them and save their souls, Lord. Professor, as she's in her house, Lord, take away any pains and stop her from getting any cancer or lymphoma again, Lord. And bless her and must her altar and keep her safe as well. With Taylor, Christy, Lord, love from any trouble, Lord, help Christy needs a PhD. And also, Lord, help him his day to day walk, play with Hamlet and Taylor, Lord, keep him safe and well and keep him well. Lord, with Stephen Pat, Lord, with Stephen needs a giant stop the attacks, Lord. And thank you for the fellowship yesterday and the Bible study, Lord, and the prayers as well, Lord. Thank you for that. It was a real blessing, Lord. We've seen him have helped him with diabetes, Lord. And Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. And keep him well. And Lord, we will stay, Lord. And George, who's to walk through with thee, Lord. And teach us many things, Lord. And commune with us in our heart, Lord. Fly on us, Lord. Lord, Jesus Christ, again.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord. Right. Let me get our hymn books again. Let's see if another few hymns will get us up and going. I think we'll go for hymn number 13 in the black books. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I certainly need every single bit of guidance and help that I can get my hands on this morning. Hymn number 13 in the black books. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
But thou art mighty, O
Number 16, he lifted me. Number 16, the same book, three pages over, he lifted me. We'll all stand this time. Can't sing that one really, sitting down. Turn to Proverbs 29 with me this morning. Proverbs 29. Open your Bible just about in the middle and you should hit the book of Psalms, give or take. And go back, or go forward, depending on where you are, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, there's the verses that have spoke to me sort of brought rise to a number of different titles. One of them is 10 more minutes or just another go. And another one would be jump before you are pushed. But I hope and pray it's from verse number 1 in Proverbs 29. But we're going to read it all because there's so much good stuff in it. So take it, everybody's there. Proverbs 29, beginning at verse number 1. The word of God says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. King by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbour spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, the Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and betrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favour, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Verse number 29 is the one that has inspired the message for this morning, with the word of verse number 29. Chapter 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's where we're speaking from this morning. Let's pray again and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, sounds like a bit of a tough one. It feels like a bit of a tough one this morning, Lord. I just pray that you'd be one of our number and that you would minister to each one of us, that you would take time with us in the hall this morning and, Lord, use this portion of Scripture and the others that we have heard this morning and even those good old songs, Lord, to work on us and to help us and to heal us and to strengthen us and keep us in straight and narrow. Bless each head, Lord, that's bowed in your presence. And Lord, we covet your company this morning. We love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Normally, whenever there's my notes, and with a few handwritten notes as well. Normally, whenever I will copy and paste the Bible reading that I'm going to be taking and using, and there are one or two little paragraph headings, there's little characters they put at the beginning of every paragraph of everything that's set out in its own. Normally, you'll get one or two, but for these 27 verses that we just read, I actually have 27. There are that many things in there. There's so much in Proverbs that is the wisdom of God given to us through Solomon, and it's well worth paying attention to, or well worth even observing, and that's not even the least of it. It's just so much goodness. It was like one of those cans of cat food that says so much meaty goodness, and that's just exactly what it has. Not for cats, but for people. It covers all aspects of life. Parents, neighbours, kings, children, there's advice there for everybody. And it's not just, oh, this is personal experience. This is the word of God. This is how things need to be done. As I was reading this, whenever it talked about a child left to himself, I remembered an article on the TV many, many years ago. I think it was maybe, was it a London school where there were no set curriculums? where there was no detention or anything like that, and the children were allowed to, I'm going to say this wrong, express themselves to their fullest. It was a private school, and seemingly it produced some very smart children, although I contend with that a little bit. But generally speaking, even my cats know how to discipline their kittens so that they know their place and know what they should and shouldn't do. Anyway, there is one common thread in the whole Bible, and it is that if you obey God, things will go better for you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will get richer, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you will live longer or have more friends or be more popular, but it will go better for you. You will be at peace. You will be content. The peace, in fact, that passeth all understanding. And you will know how to carry yourself in this world, how to deport yourself. You will be blessed by God. You will maybe have opportunities to do God's work in this world. And what more could you ask for? It's great to do a bit of work in God's house. It's wonderful to do God's work, to do something for God in this world, and look back and know and be able to put your hand on, recall it to mind that you obeyed God. That doesn't sit well with a lot of people in these days, because we're all about rights. Oh, I'm nobody's slave. I will do whatever I want. And that's fine if there's only one person doing whatever they want. But when everybody's doing whatever they want, sooner or later you're going to meet someone of cross purposes. You're going to meet someone going the opposite direction to you, and there's going to be some fireworks. God said, if you do things my way, I'll bless you, I'll help you, I'll minister to you. I will give you a night's sleep that even the most expensive and most comfortable of beds cannot provide for you. I will give you an assurance of eternity, and I will give you a home in heaven. And you can have that knowledge here and now in this world, knowing that everything is working out for the best. However, he says, if you don't, you won't get any of these things. And I'll tell you something else. If you're mine, he said to the Jews back in the Old Testament, if you're mine, and you start disobeying and you start rebelling, as it said in Joshua 24, I will turn and do you hurt. I will oppose you, so that the world can see you just don't mess with God. I think that it said there, the fear of the Lord bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. There's one other in Proverbs which talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This verse sums this all up, and there's three parts to it. There is a warning, there is a promise, and there is a solution. And the warning is that if you keep going against my rules, my laws, in fact, even common sense, your pigeons are going to come home to roost someday. And you will receive in your life right now the consequences of your actions, of your anti-God behavior. If you want to put it in a more relatable example, a lot of people say, why didn't God do this? And why didn't God save someone from that drunk driver? Or why doesn't God heal the person, that poor man that has liver failure, because he has been drinking his whole life? Why does God not save him? Because for that man's whole life, the word of God has been available to him. In fact, if each generation, I think generations are normally counted, what, about 30 years? I counted it as 70 years, but if each generation is 30 years, there's been, oh goodness, I'm going to get it wrong, 70 generations, 70 generations since the Bible was finished, give or take, and I'll not argue about 100 years here or there. 70 generations where God's word has been available to man, where certain people have taken advantage of it and used it and been blessed by it and prospered through it, But there has been 70 generations of people also ignoring it and going in the opposite direction. And you can see the difference that it makes. Oh Lord, why will you not save those people from AIDS or STDs? Why will you not save that couple from being mown down by a drunk driver? Because it's like this, God gives each and every person a free will. And then we get charged for how we use it when this life is over. If we use it badly, if we want what we deserve, the Bible says in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. If we want the free gift of everlasting life, well then, that's the other side of the coin. The warning is, there are consequences. And the consequences seem to come very quickly. Because how many times have you noticed people that they'll do something wrong and there'll be a thrill in doing something wrong? And then when they don't get caught, they think, man, that was real fun. Let's do it again. And they keep doing it again and again and again. And then all of a sudden, someday, consequences come. Oh God, why did you not save me? You know the old saying about the man who prayed to God to save him from the flood, sitting on the top of his house, and a rowboat came along and he said, hop in and I'll get you to safety. And he says, I'm waiting for God to save me. And so the flood waters rise up a bit more and a motorboat comes along and says to the man, hop in and I'll take you to safety. And the fella says, I'm waiting for God to save me. Eventually he's standing on the chimney top and a helicopter comes and drops a ladder down and says, grab a hold and we'll fly you to safety. And he says, I'm waiting for God to save me. Of course the waters come up over his head and he drowns. And as the old tropes go, he's standing at the pearly gates and God says, what are you doing here? He says, I was waiting for you to save me. He said, I sent a rowboat. I sent a motorboat, and I sent a helicopter. Why didn't you accept my salvation? It's been there for so long. The warning is, ignore God at your peril. The promise is, you will be forgiven if you, instead of hardening your neck, you softening your neck. The solution is to repent of your sins and to trust Christ as your Savior. That's not all of it. I want to give you like actual real life examples. Things that we can relate to secularly. Right here and now. We're not done. Excuse me. But what we need to know. And it's a point worth laboring. It's not on God. God has done every single thing that he can possibly do short of grabbing you by the lapels and dragging you to heaven. And you know what? If God did that, people would be complaining about the creases in their silk shirts. They'd be complaining about a seam being ripped in their new jacket. They'd be complaining about the toes of their shoes being scuffed as God was dragging them towards the pearly gates. God says, Ezekiel 38 says it better than I could ever say it. Or Ezekiel 18, sorry. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. That means if someone dies without being saved, it's not according to my plan. So the Lord says, turn yourselves. In other words, you have to repent. Turn yourselves and live ye. And chapter 2 later, he says exactly the same. I have no pleasure in Ezekiel 33. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel, he's talking to. But that applies to every single soul. I want to give you a few things from history that will let you see that pigeons do indeed come home to roost, and that when you keep putting things off, When you keep putting off either getting your life right with God, getting saved, and straightening your life out as God leads you, all of a sudden it seems that destruction comes your way. I'm not pointing out at anybody or anything like that. I'm just saying this is the way it is. Probably one of the best examples is Israel. All throughout history, God has warned Israel about, you know, staying close to him. Do it my way, like Frank Sinatra. Only don't do it Frank Sinatra's way. Do it God's way. And stick to it. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Stick to it. Whenever the Lord spoke to the children of Israel, he reminded them. Said, set up these pillar of stones so that when the next generation comes along, they will know that they're there for a reason. You can explain it to them. This is why Israel got the victory, because God delivered us from Egypt. God delivered us from all of our enemies. God delivered us from the wilderness. God fed us and watered us. God made sure our clothes didn't wear out. So that you can tell them. And God said, do you see the way I'm telling you to do things? His people would say yes. Do you see the way I give you the victory when you do things my way? And the people say yes. Whenever you get to the promised land, keep doing that. Don't do what everybody else is doing. And when I say everybody else, I mean the Amorites and the Moabites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Canaanites. Don't be doing what they're doing. Do things my way. I will keep blessing you. Can you imagine what Israel would be like today if they had stuck with God all down through history? They would rule the world. It would be a global empire under the governance of the scriptures, and it would be great for those that love God. For those that hated him, it would be like hell on earth. Time and time again, I'm just reading in Jeremiah about how he literally wept. Please turn back, he said. Please turn back to God. His whole life was dedicated to trying to pull the children of Israel back to God. And yet, you know the score yourself. When people get too big for their britches and they think rules don't apply to them, Israel had gotten that way after their many victories. They refused. Time and time again, they refused. And God said, all right, that's okay. If you don't, it's going to be 70 years, you will be captives. You're going to be beaten into the ground. And they didn't believe that either. But sure enough, Nebuchadnezzar came along, trounced them, took everything, took the best of their people, their gold, all the good stuff, brought it back to Babylon, and he made his kingdom greater. And God actually blessed him, and Nebuchadnezzar was aware of God's hand on his life. But even that, remember one of the dreams Daniel had? And said Nebuchadnezzar, the dream with the tree with the band around it means that you're going to be cut down in your prime, but you'll be preserved. And after 7 years, you'll come back again. Keep yourself humble in the sight of God. And remember what God has done for you. That's all he had to do. Give the glory to God. Do it God's way. And one evening, he was standing at his palace window, looking out over the city and recalling his kingdom and just thinking, do you know what? I am really something special. Through all of my wheeling and dealing, through all of my skills, through all of my whatever it is that kings do, politicking, I have managed to secure this kingdom for myself. And in that moment, his intellect was gone and they cast him out and he lived like an animal for 7 years. The Bible records that the hairs on his back grew like feathers and his nails grew like the talons of a bird. And he ate grass like an ox for 7 years. And at the end of it, he looked up and praised the Lord and admitted that God was God. And he got everything back. Unfortunately, his son didn't learn his dad's lesson, but that's neither here nor there. Historically, we have Hosea. Anyone ever heard of Hosea in the Old Testament? He was God's high priest. And one of the rules for the high priest was you were to marry a young girl that had never been married before. If you want a wife, marry a girl that had never been married before. No boyfriends, nothing like that, that was living right for God. It saves an awful lot of strife at home when two people are going the same direction. And you would think that Hosea, as the de facto high priest, would be way off to find a wee good girl to marry. A good girl that could keep a home and all these things. That would know the Jewish law, that would be able to raise the kids right. Oh no, God says to Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. Marry a streetwalker. Marry someone that has given herself to many lovers, we'll call them that. And he says, why? Well, I'm saying why. But he goes and does it. Gomer was her name. He said, this is to show Israel that this is how Israel treats me. Whenever they want something, they come to me. But whenever they want a good time, they wander away off to somebody else. They're off worshiping other gods. They're sacrificing their children and the devils. This is a picture, and it's not going to be written with words this time. It's going to be written in your life. And Hosea suffered a lot of heartache because of that. But that was a picture of God. It's the result of disobeying God. Now we know. And we'll come back to some of the other things. But in history, in Christian stroke Jew, Israeli history, it never works well whenever you disobey God. One of the things that really brought about the destruction of the Israeli nation was whenever the people clamored for the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember whenever he was arrested and the whole crowd was there and Pilate said, I can find nothing wrong with this man. I think it was three times. I can find nothing wrong with this man. And they cried, crucify him, crucify him. And he washed his hands in the bowl. He said, I am free from this man's blood. And what did they say? His blood be upon us and upon our children. And there's been a blindness upon the Jewish people, upon them as a race ever since. And they have suffered awfully ever since for rejecting the Son of God, their Messiah, as their Savior. And it has only been very recently, historically speaking, that Israel has become a nation again. Globally, examples of obeying God and disobeying God. I want to go back and revisit the statement that we made at the start of the service. This Bible that we have, that's been on the face of the world for nearly 2,000 years, my 70 generations. There's no one that has ever lived and breathed in this world in the past 70 generations, give or take, that the world has not had the Word of God in it. The Word of God has been available. And God has miraculously brought it to peoples the whole way across the world. I'm going to get this wrong. Go to Monica for the full and proper version, but she recounts the account of a friend. Was it a friend? Of a friend? Or mission of a missionary who went to visit these people literally out in the back of beyond, and I don't mean at the top of the Glenshane Pass. I mean way out in the back of beyond. Who worshipped spirits, and they used to leave out offerings and sacrifices for so that the spirits wouldn't do anything bad. And one of the guys just thought, hold on a wee second, if there's evil spirits out there that we have to pacify in order to get on with their lives, surely there must be a good spirit out there. And he cried to this good spirit, if you're out there, send someone to tell us about you. And it wasn't long after that Christian missionary landed, and the place was literally ready to receive Christ en masse. God does these things. The world has had the Word of God. There's always been a preacher, an evangelist, a pastor, or a believer with a love for lost souls and lips ready to speak the Word of God. There's always been someone for the past 2,000 years. God always says, if you're ever put in the spot, tell people about what he's done for you. Tell them about salvation. I want to tell you as well that world events have taken place many times exactly according to God's word. And the nations that have followed the Bible have prospered, while those that don't haven't. I know it's not popular, but Britain used to be the land upon whom the sun never set, because it was originally founded on Christian principles. South of Ireland used to be the land of saints and scholars because of one man, St. Patrick, bringing the gospel back to a land that really didn't do him any favours first time around. That's not the land of saints and scholars now. It is now the owner and holder of probably one of the worst abortion laws in the whole world. And it's supposed to be one of the most religious countries in the world. It just shows you what religion does for people as opposed to what the gospel will do for people. And then look at those countries where the gospel is hated, where the gospel is persecuted or manipulated and handled. Look at those countries. And I don't mean to embarrass Ling, but China does not have a good human rights record. Russia does not have a good human rights record. They treat people very, very badly, very harshly. And there is a very low price put on the value of human lives. You look at the likes of North and South Korea. Now start looking at America and Britain and see us going the same way as we depart farther and farther from the gospel. 100 or so years ago, Britain departed from the gospel, maybe more. And look how God has removed all of their blessings. America has, in the last generation or two, has started departing from the preaching of the gospel, has started persecuting Christians. And look at the state of it today, where it embraces wickedness in every hand and persecutes those that want to stand up for what's right. If you look even at Roman Catholic countries, I remember reading somewhere once that Mexico would be one of the richest countries in the world if it had not been for the religion of the Roman Catholic Church robbing the people blind. Vatican City could probably sort out any and all, or finance any and all relief efforts to anywhere in the world, but they sit smugly on tons of gold and precious stones and works of art that are worth untold fortunes. The history of man is full of examples of how following God brings God's blessings globally, on a country level, on a nation level, and how departing from them brings trouble, brings awful treatment. I think Russia is one of the worst countries, especially over the past 4 or 5 generations, as far as the treatment of its own citizens goes, with millions disappearing because they dared to think freely or express themselves. And we have that and so much more, at least we used to have. Now where there are people being checked for daring to say, hold on a wee second, I think transgender is not the right lifestyle to be following. I think that being a homosexual or a lesbian is not the way to live. You can have policemen calling at your door, checking your thinking. This is the country that has departed from the gospel and is now beginning to we've sown the seeds, we've sown the wind, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. And a lot of people think, and indeed preach, that we're coming into, in quotes, the age of Aquarius, an age of peace, because we have surpassed the gospel. I am telling you now, Norman was reading from Revelation chapter 14 and detailed a handful of the things that's going to happen during the tribulation and great tribulation. And the world has continually rejected and said no and pushed away the times with which they would bow the knee to God Almighty. The Bible says everybody will. Stalin has bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. Hitler has bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. Genghis Khan has bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. I have to admit that he's Lord. They're all dead. They all know for real now. But the Word of God states in Revelation, excuse me, and in the book of Daniel, and in the book of Isaiah, and in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and many other books in the Bible, that there is a great judgment coming. The world says, no, we're going to live our own way another year. God says, come to me, and I will bless you. And the world says, no, we're going to live our way another year. We don't like your way. We don't like being held responsible for our actions. God says, come to me. I'll forgive you for what you've done. And we'll start going the right way. And they keep saying no, and they keep saying no, and they keep saying no. And God says, the Bible actually says God sometimes just gets fed up trying to speak to people about living right for him, about getting saved. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. God says, that's fine, I'm going to take everybody out of the way who's already innocent, who's already free, who's already saved. And I am going to send 21 judgments to smite this world. And that verse at the start of Proverbs 29 that says, those that harden their neck will suddenly be destroyed, it's going to catch them all in the hop. All these folks that think, oh, it'll just continue the way it's always done. We can still go out drinking. We can still go and do drugs. We can still go and kill people, kidnap them, torture them. We can still curse and swear and do all of that. Until one day, can't. Because all of their pigeons have come home to roost. And God's patience has run out. For thousands of years, God has been patient and God has given opportunities, not just to people, but to entire nations. And they have still said no. Personally, I could take you to the door of many people who have rejected God's teaching against themselves. People that are Christians, so called. People that sat and content and sung with us, that fellowship with us. And I'm talking, when I say personally, I mean I know them. I have fellowship with them. I have sat beside them in the pews. I have shared the gospel with them and sat at Bible studies with them and listened to them, who suddenly decided that they were not constrained by the gospel anymore, that they could do whatever it was that they wanted. I don't know the reason for it. Was it unrepentant sin? Was it people playing at being Christians? I don't know. God knows. But I can take and show you families where husbands and wives have flown apart so fast it was like an explosion. Where children have been turned away from the gospel and some have gone to these, in quotes, acceptable alternative lifestyles. Where families have split up. Where people have turned to drink and drugs and immorality. And where young people's lives have been destroyed simply because people turned away from doing what God said. God says many, many times, come to me, I will not cast you out. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But he also says, if you try to take a hand out of me, I'll sort you out. I will oppose you. I will turn and do you hurt after that I have done you good. God is not joking. Your life, friends, is important to God. Your soul is important to God. Your life is important to other people as well. They need to see Jesus in your life. All these folks, they thought they were on the right path until it all came crashing down years later. And it all seemed to happen so suddenly. The Bible is real. Its teachings are more important today than they ever have been, because they're not being adopted by anybody. They're being rejected wholescale right the way across the board. And they are the only thing that helps people keep their heads screwed on. And God said, look, you're all sinners. You've all made mistakes. You've all committed sins. But if you repent, I'll forgive you. Just like that. He says, I will actually tie them into a bag and throw them over my shoulder into the sea of forgetfulness. I'll not come back and say, I remember when you did that. That's not God. That's the devil reminding you of your past. And as a preacher said, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. In hell, in the lake of fire, forever and ever and ever. When God speaks to you from the scriptures, you should do something about it. When God speaks to you from the preaching, you need to go to the scriptures to make sure the preaching's from the scriptures, and then you need to do something about it. When God speaks to you from an old Bible verse or a Sunday school lesson or an old song, one of those good old songs, you need to do something about it. Even if you're saying your prayers, you don't always have to be talking when you're having a conversation with God. Sometimes you can actually let God speak to you. And I always remember the account of an evangelist, a famous evangelist of years gone by, his little child coming into the study, and he was quite short with it. He said, what do you want? I'm trying to study. And the little child said, Daddy, I only want to be near you. I just want to be with you. Whenever we just sit with God, you never know what you might learn. But when he calls, when he asks, answer. Be like Eli, like little Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant here. That will bring the best results in your life. Sometimes it'll be tough. Sometimes it'll rub you a little raw. But it'll toughen you up and it'll prepare you for the great things that God has in store for all of us. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. And you're always better obeying God now when you can than being forced to or being punished for not obeying God. Has anybody got a hymn they'd like for us to close the service with this morning? Anybody got one on their minds? That's okay, I have plenty. We have no takers. You got one, Mrs. Bradford?
Yeah, we sang Blessed Quietness in Barrow.
Okie doke. Is that in this book?
It is.
Hymn number 340, if you'd like to take and turn there. 340, and we'll stand as we sing Blessed Quietness.
Abides with us forever, makes
for your time and attention, for the Bible readings, and for the Bible reading this evening, Will. Amen. And I pray you have a good day. Look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless you. Let's be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time around your word. Please bless it to us as we go our separate ways. And please remind us of your presence, Lord, throughout our lives, and throughout each day of it. We love you and thank you. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world. Please provision, please protect, please, Lord, deliver, day in and day out. Please be with those souls and the families of those that have lost loved ones in Ukraine and in and around Russia as well, Lord. We love you and praise you. Thank you for everything, Lord. Amen.
Folks, we're dismissed. Excuse me. God bless you. Fellowship for a little bit, if you will.